spoilers, offensive content, and spoilers all await you today.
Yes, especially now that we'll be referencing both the original episode, this episode, and comparing it to others. Definitely spoiler-filled going forward.
Welcome to week two of the Carlos and Dave Anime Ray Fall 2014
Jamboree.
Look, Jamboree Extreme Makeover Bridal Shower Edition.
I'm guessing you're going to give me the one marrying... What was that one that you hated? Oh, yeah. Mirai,
yeah. So, we're going to go with our first seed, then our last, then our second last, and so forth in that order. First up, we have our highest seeded item for week two, because we reseeded. Watch our past episodes for more fun information on that. Ore Twin Tails ni Narimasu. We gave this a perfect 3-pie last week. Will episode 2 live up to this?
Something tells me no, but gonna give it all the chance.
Very quick synopsis of this. In this one, a Twin Tails obsessed school kid turns into a twin-tailed female superhero. So this one has sex changes. This one has perverted but tasteful crap in it. This one has super self-awareness in the most absurd setting ever. Amazing, way too epic music for what's going on. It's just been good stuff so far.
Let's start.
Yep. Let's see if episode 2 is also good. Meanwhile, in the future... Alright, so that was episode 2 of Twin Tails. In this episode, a lot of shit happens. Soji learns that his alter superhero ego, Tail Red, who we must remind you is an entirely different gender than he is, has been becoming quite popular. All the boys at school want to, do very bad things to her. The student council president, who we know becomes one of the Tail Rangers, Tail Yellow, one assumes.
Yeah.
She appears to be in love with the superhero part of Soji. Aika is still unsuccessfully trying to woo Soji to herself, while Twirl has basically convinced Soji's mom that this is all okay and to let her move in. And Soji's mom is allowing this because it was apparently her dream to be Tail Red when she was younger.
You're leaving out the fact that the mother also wants her there so he can get laid.
Yeah, the reason that his mom was so keen on Aika making Soji her dessert, as she talked about last episode, is because she is so desperate for her son to get a girlfriend and get laid, making her the coolest mom in the universe. Now, a villain shows up and dies almost as fast, and then we're shown the preview for the next episode where we get to see what we presume is Aika's transformation, Tail Blue, as well as the massive superhero base that was now built under Soji's house.
I'd like to point out that we see more of this episode's killed-off villain. We see more of him working up to how he's going to face her, or who's going to face her, rather. Then he gets screen time dying.
Yeah, and how do the villains decide who goes after Tail
Jenga?
Giant Jenga. villains all appear to have weird pervy plans for how to defeat Tail Red, like dressing her up in a maid outfit or putting her in bondage. Look, this show remains fun for this second episode.
Oh, what do you think? The dialogue and the situation. Everything is just so fun to watch.
This episode was pretty dialogue heavy, and just when I thought they were doing something that I didn't agree with, they won me back over. Like when Twirl was talking about the reasons attribute strengths are so important, I was thinking to myself, you know what? This is getting a little too
serious.
A little too much. There's a little too much explanation for this absurd premise. And then, I won't spoil it, but 1 second later, she redeems it with more absurdity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this show's still doing well, and I'm still enamored by it. Are you still enamored by it?
Yes, absolutely.
What are you going to score it?
I know this is the first one of week two that we're watching, but I had just as much fun with the absurdity of this episode as I did last time. The animation and the music have just kept right on the same pace.
The music is too epic.
The transformation sequence makes Sailor Moon's look like a budget transformation. And it takes place in about a fifth the time. So, yeah, no, I'm having lots of fun with it. I gotta give this one still 3-ply.
I'm going to give it slightly less, just because since this was very dialogue-heavy and the dialogue wasn't bad, we don't get to see some of the cool stuff like the fight scenes and the music as much as we did in the first episode. However, when I say a slightly lower rating, I mean I'm going to give it 9.3.
Really?
Yeah, giving it 9.3 out of 3.5. Super high rating, regardless. I don't see what your problem is. Maybe you want to sleep with Tail Red. Pervert, you sack of crap. Jesus, Carlos, what are you doing?
I gotta do math, you bastard.
So an extremely high 9.36 out of 3-pi. This one's still a green, right?
Oh, this is... Is there a category we can go above green?
Above green. Plutonium?
Kryptonite.
Kryptonite, yes.
Yeah, we'll give it the seal of kryptonite.
Doing some typing and maintenance here, folks. We'll be back with you shortly. All right. So this one gets a green.
Absolutely.
Our number one seed is probably going to stay there, I bet. And, folks, that's it for me. Bye.
Get the fuck back here. Next one is our 20th seed, which I fought to keep in here. And by thought, just use logic to get rid of the...
Logic. More like you defaulted on... We argued, so we went with the one that had the higher average score, and me and my infinite lack of wisdom didn't score this lower.
Hey, you start trying to rig it, and we're just going to destroy this.
I won't be the one who starts it. I will finish the rigging, though.
I'm not going to rig it at all.
Okay.
So, this is... Ushino Wareta Mirai wo Motor Mete.
This is the one where the girl confesses to the guy, gets killed by the bus, and then we go back to the past, and bam, silver-haired girl who is obviously her from the future. Even though they haven't said this, come on, it's totally fucking her from the future.
Probably, let's see.
Okay, let's take a look.
Meanwhile, in the future...
Was this worth fighting for? What's the name of this one again?
Mirai.
Something Mirai, something something. Okay.
No, let's do that right.
Okay, fine.
It's Ushina Wareta Mirai wo Motomete.
Okay, so we learn that our silver-haired girl Yui seems to have lost her memory, but seems to know So's name and have some strange connection to the astrology club for very obvious reasons. For the next 20-some minutes, nothing happens, and then at the end, we're shown a scene of Yui, the silver-haired girl, in what appears to be some kind of cloning tube with some old scientist tending to her.
In the future, yeah.
So I think it's very obvious. Okay, it wasn't quite just her ghost from the accident. No, it was obviously So distraught over Kaori's death, managed to, I don't know, recreate her and send her back to prevent it. Oh, look, I just figured this out.
This episode was boring. The hook they tried to give us at the very end wasn't even a hook. It went nowhere. It was, you know, you took a little bit away from, our last episode for Twin Tales based on being very dialogue heavy, but at least that was fun. Enjoyable and witty. This was just boring, boring, boring.
I took only a slight bit away from Twin Tales merely because a lot of the greatness of the first episode wasn't quite there, but most of it was. So I took off I docked it very slightly for that.
So based on episode one, I still had a little bit of hope on where this was going. And episode one at least had, you know, they were subbing in for the disciplinary committee. They were doing things. They weren't just sitting in a room talking about stuff they'd already talked about in episode one with a new character being there. It just...
Okay, so from here...
Yeah.
We cut to far in the future where I am frantically working on some clone of you to go back in time and stop us from watching this.
He should appear right about...
You're too late.
I obviously failed. Look, this isn't horrifyingly bad. It's just not... It's not compelling. It's not interesting. I can... Like, yeah, my theory about everything wasn't quite the what ended up being, but what ended up being was very close anyway. I mean, a show doesn't have to surprise. I can see what's coming a mile away if I have fun getting there.
Yeah, and I mean, again, you've probably nailed it right on the dot, and I know this is horrible. We're cutting this.
Well...
We're cutting this, but... I'm probably going to solo watch episode 3 to see if we're right.
Sure, sure.
But as far as what we're doing, I'm sorry. This just isn't... With everything else we've seen all the other series, this just doesn't cut it. It's not... It doesn't have the hooks needed to survive.
Look, I'll give you that this probably deserved to be here more than the other series we cut, despite my arguments last time. I'll give you that, but it's still... I very strongly doubt it is going to place above any of the other 19 shows here.
I'm just saying put this as a red.
Well, we gotta rate it. We gotta rate it. And my rating for this one... We gotta rate it. We stick to the plan, Gypsy.
Fine.
I give it 3 out of 3 pie.
I'm gonna give it a 4.
Okay, so we get 3.5, and you want to give it a red?
I'm gonna go yellow, because it's... Here's the thing. I say red because I know we're cutting it, but there's still part of me that is interested in watching episode 3 on my own to see if it's going to become as cliched as I think it's about to.
I'll concede your yellow because there's no way this is going to make it, and I'm not worried at all. All right. So, Twin Tails took us to heaven, and Mirai took us to hell.
No.
And now...
Mirai simply put us to sleep.
And now we enter the weird purgatory in between... With Yuki Yuna and Ayusha Daru, which, as you recall, started back in week one.
Poorly.
Not poorly.
Just
simply
average.
Competently, but unexcitingly. And then went from boring to 100 in 2 seconds flat.
Yeah.
Because it went from school life to Cthulhu is trying to blow up the world, punch his ass out.
Literally.
So, I'm assuming this translates to English to bitches be transforming and punkin' Cthulhu ass bitches.
So, here we go.
Let's see Yuki Yuna.
Meanwhile, in the future.
Alright, Yuki Yuna episode 2 with another strong showing.
Yeah, from the very beginning.
The first episode, the first half was competent but not terribly exciting or boring, and it was, well, boring it was, but I mean, it kind of misled us so it could intentionally just turn our shit upside down, so to speak. This episode already knew that it had established itself to us, so it did away with the pretense of the school life and just was like, okay, let's fight us some angels. Spoiler alert, each of the 4 girls scores a kill on one of them this episode, because Togo, whose transformation was absent from the intro, actually has her own transformation. The sniper goddess of death, her boobs also get bigger after transformation.
Yeah.
It seems to be a common thread in this show. What I found interesting about this episode is that the parts where they were in school weren't terribly boring anymore. And in fact, there's a bit of a sense of humor to the show. Very subtle, but someone will do something silly and you'll catch on that. And one of the characters will briefly touch on it, but they'll also kind of make an excuse for it. Like when Fu was drawing the picture of the monster and all of them, and they were like, oh, that's how she draws. She's actually pretty bad. And Yuna was like, no, it's abstract art. Like, there were funny little lines like that. Or, like, when Yuna tries to punch the core and it's not quite hard enough, so she's like, oh, god damn it, because it hurt her hand, right? This show has remained strong. What did you think?
Very strong showing. I really am impressed with the fact that they didn't, and horrible spoilers here, but the fact that she did not get the ability to walk again when she was transformed.
Yeah, like you said during the episode, that would have been too cruel.
It would have been it. It would have added some darkness to it, so it might have worked, but I'm glad they didn't go up that route. Her hair kind of becomes her legs in that way, and her legs just hang there and flop around.
She kind of walks around the same way Dr. Octopus walks around.
Yeah.
In that her superhero appendage things do the walking, and she just kind of floats there and handles all the gun work with her hands.
And I must say, I did like the fact that, double shooter, and all she did was flip him around and reloaded. Yeah. She was pulling some Terminator 2 shotgun stuff, but double.
Speaking of guns, this was their second fight in as many days. And this time, the Cthulhu angel-looking things did not fuck around.
The
vertexes, there were three of them, and they were pulling some fucking
rebound bullshit.
Yeah, they were pulling some revolver ocelot shit where the one stayed back so it could snipe at them and then shoot, like, hails of projectiles that the ones in front would use, like, little deflectors to rebound, as you so eloquently put it. It was like if Revolver Ocelot was three demonic mechas. And I was like, man, this is too hard a fight for your second one. But
something had to force her to transform.
Force Togo to change. And regardless of all that, it's still impressed, and they still managed to win. And I am starting to really fall for this show. Like, last time it engaged me with its audacity. This time it showed me that, hey, it has the chops to pull off something good from the beginning.
It showed us that it wasn't a one-shot wonder with how the last half of the episode was.
It's a one-hit wonder. It's a one-hit. You have to ruin the integrity of our show.
Sorry,
with its tens of followers.
Yes, exactly.
I am wary of one thing, though. Episode 2 showed us that they know how to, from front to back, make an episode good. So why didn't the first episode do that? The first episode relied on a very risky gambit to win me over.
Let's not second guess it. That may have been exactly their intention.
But if this is kind of in the end, if this show stays strong throughout and ends up winning, for all we know, even if it doesn't, we're probably committed to watch it in one form or another. But let's say this show stays consistently good from here until its conclusion. That will mean, hey, it was good, and obviously they made the right call. But if every episode except the first was just so masterfully done, why did the first rely on this gambit? That was kind of silly, because the gambit clearly wasn't needed. If, however, we start to see that the show has ups and downs, in that for every strong showing, there's kind of a not-so-strong showing, then that will reaffirm a suspicion I have, and that's that the creators of the show have their well, and they definitely know how to draw from it, but there's only so much they can draw at once. That said,
At this point, I don't even think that's worth worrying about. That's a worry for any show, so pointing out for this one specifically, I mean, episode 1 did its thing. I can even now see why it may have done that first half the way it did. It gave us while kind of boring in the way that it did it, it did give us a strong impression of the girls. Now they don't have to.
In a way, it kind of gave us, it was like, I got bad news and good news. The bad news is, this isn't terribly exciting. The good news is, it's about to be.
Yeah.
And maybe that's it. Maybe you're right. Maybe if the first show, if the first episode was as well, as consistently well done as this one, maybe it wouldn't have occupied such a place in my mind. Maybe it had to do that for me to go, what the? And buy into this to see if these moments are happening. And you disagreed with this. But I think the fact that Togo ended up having her own transformation that they didn't show in the intro of this episode, which was good of them, that was because we were expecting her to either die or transform or be the villain, which any one of those things still...
You threw out the villain part.
Yeah, one of these things still may happen, but the fact of the matter is they hid that from us, and when she transformed, she was awesome as shit. So we again got another, oh fuck, awesome plot twist. If every episode does something like this and it keeps me at the edge of my seat as to what's going to happen now, that's all we can ask of any entertainment, any television show, for the next episode to buck our expectations and for us to go...
Or at least meet them.
Yeah. No, I disagree. This show has not been meeting my expectations. This show has been taking my expectations and turning them on their heads to my delight.
Sure.
So what I'm saying is, now this show set a very, now this show set a potentially dangerous precedent. Now I'm expecting every episode to do that.
I don't. I expect to be entertained in a similar fashion. And if it stayed to the level of episode 2, I'd be fine.
I would be fine, but I would be a little disappointed given that the first 2 episodes took me on the ride they did if the rest of the show was just competent. Regardless, what do you rate this one?
I'm going to give this one a solid 8.5.
I'm going to give this one a 9.2.
Ooh. 8.85.
Very strong showing for Yuki Yuna. For Yuki Yuna. I like the name. This is a green, I take it.
Oh, this is a green.
Make it green. Make it rain! Make it green. Folks, thank you for watching. We will return next time with Grisaya no Kaijutsu, and may it Grisaya my Kaijutsu. Go to the CarlosNaveAnimeRave.com website, CarlosNaveAnimeRave.com. Find us on Twitter at @2FatGuysTalk. Dave, tell the people how much you love them and appreciate them.
Beep.